Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we talked about a very strange Michael Keaton comedy. I guess an attempt to return to comedy after being Batman. That feels weird, out of place, and kind of bizarre, but still kind of fun on the list. Multiplicity, a high concept comedy from one of the makers of Ghostbusters. Thanks for doing all you do, thanks for sharing, thanks for keeping people interested in our show. We do this because you're here. We do this because you're there. We do this because you review and share us. Thanks, everyone.
Hi, welcome to Miami Movies. This week we're talking Michael Keaton in Multiplicity. I have no joke here. I'm Nick number one.
I'm Matt number one.
I'm Noor number four.
And we're here to talk about a weird kind of mid-90s,
yeah,
high concept comedy directed by Harold Ramis of the Ghostbusters. But again, it's like a bad sitcom premise. Like, and again, I enjoyed this movie just fine, but it's such like a strange, like, if only there were two of me, like kind of a sitcom,
yeah,
premise from the 60s, right?
I like it.
No, I really like it. It makes you think.
It makes you think. Like, think about it.
I'm thinking.
What if there were two of you? And you had the same goals and admirations. What would y'all do?
Desires.
It's funny enough. I think there's a recent Netflix miniseries with Paul Rudd saying "Living with Yourself." Uh-huh. You know, and basically, like, he just doesn't like life. You know, job sucks. X, Y, Z, and he clones himself. And it's funny. It's just a really funny joke because, like, essentially, Tom Brady comes in through, and then he's just like, how many times have you done this? He was like, about seven, because he had seven Super Bowl rings and stuff. So yeah.
That's as far as Tom Brady acts. He just smiles. About seven?
About seven, yeah.
He's coming back next year, isn't he?
Tom Brady? No, he signed like this contract.
Agreement.
He's going to be a broadcaster, and he's making more money in his 10 years that he's making more money in a single contract than he did for his entire NFL career combined.
I wonder if he can do it. And nothing against him as a football player. Just
Fucking hate him.
but sometimes the good players are not good commentators and vice versa. So it might just be him staring into the box going, that was a pass.
If Shaq and Chuck Charles Barkley can do it.
Barkley is awesome. I love listening to him
talk. I'll tell you what. We had to talk about this movie, Nick.
Can't just talk about John Madden. You know, winner of football games.
Well, when a man clones himself, and all the clones want to bang his wife. I think I'm turning Rodney Dangerfield there.
Yeah, I got no respect. Yeah.
No respect.
Hey. Yeah, back in my day, cocaine was sugar. Anyways.
So we got... we're introduced to Michael Keaton, and Michael Keaton is a
contractor, architect, yeah. Builder.
He works for somebody else,
but
he
owns
works
his own teams. He's got, so like he's like a contractor at a contracting firm.
Mm-hmm. And we see a very, very early Eugene Levy, probably from the CTV days.
From previous episode, Splash, maybe he has escaped the Men in Black and is now working in California.
Yeah, this is the connection between the two movies.
Right.
Him with this terrible little mustache. This little, like, lip-hugger mustache. It's really something.
This is the type of person that
looks like Freddie Mercury.
I mean, I'll tell you this. He aged like wine. He does look pretty good now.
He still looks good. He's a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Michael Keaton comes upon the Eugene Levy construction site, and he's torn up the wrong driveway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he, of course, blames everyone else because we're establishing that Eugene Levy's terrible at his job.
Yes.
Which he is. Which he absolutely is. And then Michael Keaton acts like it's a big idea that he's like, we should repour these driveways instead. No, you tore it up. You kind of...
You got to fix it.
There's not an option here. Although he does threaten to beat someone to death with a drywall hammer. We talked about this before.
It was the 90s.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, I love Michael Keaton. I'm glad he's in stuff, and now we're having a bit of a Keaton-essence of some
love
sort.
Him.
And it's the best. He's fantastic. But this is kind of a back to form for him. He's before this, he was mostly known for doing comedies.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he went off and had to be Batman.
Well, what was some comedies? Mr. Mom, Beetlejuice, what else?
I mean, you got those alone. Those are huge. True. But there's just a lot of nonsense stuff. Like, you know, you said Mr. Mom, but he did a lot of TV. I think Mr. Mom might have been his first big thing. But he was in movies like, you just wouldn't see unless you watched TV back in the 90s. But Night Shift, Gung Ho, Touch and Squeeze, Clean and Sober, The Dream Team. And then out of nowhere, he becomes Batman, which I bet you nerds hated at the time because nerds hate everything.
Absolutely.
But then when he does Batman Returns, he's made two of the biggest movies of the last 5 years. And he tries to go back to these small in-between movies and just nothing really lands.
Yeah, I don't think Multiplicity made its money back.
If it did, it did just barely. Like, it's a mid-market comedy, which is fine. But the next, like, 2 years later, or next year, he's in Jackie Brown, which kind of tells you all you need to know. If only that QT is great for taking actors who are not getting enough work.
Right.
Doing something with them for, like, a weekend.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, for example, Evil Samuel L. Jackson, who's in it, he was doing he was filming Jackie Brown on the weekends because he was doing like Sphere or something. Mm. And so it's just like, yeah, sure. Just come in for a couple days, man. We'll make a cool movie.
Samuel Jackson, Multiplicity. I've had it up to here with the motherfucking clones in this motherfucking contracting business.
But what would be neat is if it's a different Samuel Jackson from a different movie, each time the clone comes out, like,
so Mr. Arnold, maybe like the nerd.
Yeah. I'm convinced that the multiverse is existent. Uh-huh. And
and there's one where this podcast is successful.
It is exciting.
We're big in Ghana.
And we're just getting different universes of Samuel Jackson.
And now they all got their SAG card. They all work under the same name. So that's how he's in 700 movies a year.
Exactly. Because it doesn't make sense. This man's Nick Fury, Coach Carter, that guy from the Snake on the Plains movie, you know.
Mace Windu.
I mean, if he started younger, like Danny Trejo did, they'd be neck and neck for the most movies. Danny Trejo just has been in movies for longer.
What was it, Goodfellas? His first movie?
That's the first movie where he was like
featured.
Well, right, where he has lines and an actual character name, and he's not just extra in the background.
That's true. Okay, I see what you're saying.
But like Trejo started doing movies in Mexico and in Texas in like the late 70s or something. Like,
yeah.
And then like he went to jail for a bit, and then he comes out and he looks like Danny Trejo, and he hasn't aged a day since. He has something like 400 entries on IMDb or something crazy like that.
Is that the guy who plays Hector?
Yeah.
In every movie. Whose also the name is?
The guy who plays Machete. Which is, those are fun ass movies.
Yeah.
Fun ass movies.
Come on. I know you guys are hating this movie. I really like this movie.
I didn't hate this movie at all.
Oh,
I just, but I also don't love it. It's one of these movies that's like a perfect, it's Sunday afternoon. We need a comedy to put on a major channel.
Yeah.
Inoffensive. I saw it when it first came out. There's some weird choices they make. Yeah. Like, okay, so the next contracting job, he goes to this, they're working on a lab, a scientific institute. We don't really get a good feel for it, but it feels like the kind of thing that would just be at like a little commercial park in the middle of, you know, the suburbs in a samey building, right? Yeah. And behind the counter is Harris Yuland. And he's, you know, takes Michael Keaton to his office, and Michael Keaton's like talking about how haranguing his wife is.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's so busy at work, he's missing his kids' events.
Yeah.
And the rest of the family is not happy about it.
We should mention just briefly, he's married to Andy McDowell of Groundhog Day fame, among other things.
And Michael, previous episode.
Yeah, previous episode, recent episode.
Michael McDowell?
No, the movie Michael, where John Travolta is an angel.
I know that.
You're fine. Harris Yuland is talking about, well, I do a procedure here that makes a copy of you, and then you don't have to work nearly as hard. And then another Harris Yuland comes out wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, it's like people printing. Like you see like some sort of 3D printed Michael Keaton. I'm pretty sure you can see his dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good looking dick.
Yeah.
A decade before Kevin's Bacon in Hollow Man.
That's right. Just in case you missed it, Harris Yuland is in
Kevin's Bacon's dicks in Hollow Man. I thought he was invisible.
It's so much in Hollow Man,
for real.
Especially when they go invisible and like it's all CGI. They lovingly render that dog.
So it's infrared dick.
They get infrared dick as well.
It's infrared dick.
There's so many dicks to go around.
as Andy McDowell finds out later.
That's right. Also, just to mention, Harris Yule in previous episode, he's the judge in Ghostbusters 2. I'll send you an electric chair! And then the ghostmen come out. So, Andy McDowell's like, you should be better with the kids, blah, blah, blah.
And she wants to go back to work.
And at this point, we get a vacuum-sealed Michael Keaton. And he wakes up. I don't know why they have to knock him out. This whole procedure is very strange because it seems like all they do is take blood.
Yeah.
And he wakes up on a table.
That could have been the clone.
It could have been. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The procedure is very vague. All of this is very vague.
It's very vague how they do it, but just know that they're clones.
And then we have behind the ear, there's a tattoo, right? It's a number. And the whole thing is that this new clone that we see looks like Michael Keaton. They're wearing the same shirt. And credit where credit's due in this movie. All the effects look fine.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of scenes where the two of them are together. And just this first scene, just from a purely technical perspective, one Michael Keaton's in the bed. The other one's standing up at the foot of the bed. Harris Yulin is walking back and forth across wherever the seam must be.
Right.
Where they're splicing the two films together.
Yeah.
And it looks great. They make the director does a good job at hiding these scenes.
What other movies before this? Because I mean, Multiplicity was something I watched, but I watched it in like 2010. You know, but like, what other movies prior to this had that?
This is an old Hollywood trick. Mm-hmm. But the difference is, people can get lazy, and so like we've done a movie called Double Trouble, which is Jean-Claude Van Damme. And Dennis Rodman.
Oh.
But, like, there's two of him.
I thought it was Time Cop where there are two of him.
There's also two of them there. He's done several movies where there's more than one Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's the only person who wants to act with him.
Could be worse. Could be Steven Seagal.
No one wants to work with me. My sex dungeon.
After I got choked out and crapped myself.
I'm a martial arts master, and I
watch some of his latter day stuff. Now that he's an enemy of the state, and he talks about Vladimir Putin.
Oh, he is an enemy of the state. Oh, dude, he does talk about Vladimir Putin. Exit Wounds is my favorite Steven Seagal movie.
That might be a next season pick. That's a fun one.
Has DMX, R.I.P.
Yeah,
and
isn't there one called Marked for Death too? There's a
that
lot.
That sounds
of
like
lot
it.
Of Steven Seagal movies.
I can just start making up stuff. A Shot to Kill.
Yeah.
Siege.
Oh, that's a movie?
What?
Previous episode, Under Siege. But
We have not done the second one. Yeah. We should do the second one. The first one's weird, man. I mean, it's sexy.
But very weird.
Gary Busey's wearing a dress in that.
Good for him.
There's also like a Playmate of the Month like naked throughout half that movie. It's very strange. Anyway... So, Michael Keaton returns with a clone of himself.
Right.
And he has him, like, living in the over the garage or something.
Yeah, there's, like, an apartment over the garage that they never finish. That's the other thing you get about Michael Keaton is that we mentioned he's a workaholic, and we get the threat. John DeLancey, Q from Star Trek, among other things, is the guy in the office who's, like, he's not gunning for his job. He's just the office kiss ass. And so Michael Keaton feels threatened because... They don't really play him as gay, but he's clearly a guy in his 30s. He's kind of a little bit more fey, but he's single. So he can work whenever he needs to work, and he's got expendable income.
Right.
And so Michael Keaton feels threatened by him because he's already missing his kid's stuff, and now there's a guy at the office who's more active, aggressive, good at what he does. We have to also make it very clear that the rules of this clone thing, despite itself, in some ways are very explained and sometimes they aren't. For example, the clones have no weakness. There's not like it'll only last for 30 days. The personality shift seems to be a surprise to everyone, right? Mm.
He seems more, the number two is more aggressive.
No, number two is like more testosterone-y,
right?
Because
he's
not just more aggressive, he's also like... We see him, like, not ripped, but he's, like, moving stuff. He's more physical as well. He also fires Eugene Levy later on, which is funny. But because, guess what? By the way, The guy already fucked up by having the wrong driveway destroyed.
It's true.
And then he shows up late every day that week.
Yeah.
You fire the guy. I'm obviously. Sorry.
You don't feel bad.
No.
I don't think you got 16 kids, you know?
Well, and you're already like swimming in debt, apparently, or whatever. And like that's established here too. Like they bought this bigger house because it was a fixer-upper and her husband's a contractor, but he never got around to fixing the damn house.
No.
Because of course not.
Major plot point.
Well, like as the main character, he should learn something. And he kind of does. But all the characters have motivation, kind of, which is that Michael Keaton wants to spend more time with his family, but he also wants to spend more time away from his family, as we see in the very weird scene where he's sitting by himself watching a basketball game.
I mean, okay. I don't have kids, nor do I have that much responsibilities. But if I were a clone, clone Noor would work. Work, and I'll enjoy life after work. You know what I'm saying? Spend time with a lady, go golfing, play video games nonsensically, go to a ballpark, you know?
And then clone Noor might start a little bit pissed at having to do all the work and come after you.
We'll get there, because that's the problem, right? Like, they don't really establish rules.
I think they're the same mentally up until the moment of cloning. Yeah.
I was going to say, that's the other important rule. So theoretically, all clones should be able to do the most basic stuff and day to day, theoretically, they should be telling each other what to do because they can't read each other's minds.
That's true.
But yeah, so we've got Michael Keaton now showing up early to work because I guess that's what his first step was. Showing up to work is half the battle.
You're damn right. I hate commutes. I used to like working from home, but then I became a hermit. But I feel you.
And then at this point, Michael Keaton even finds time to watch his son's football game, where he becomes the coach, which is just, I mean, it's a bad Simpsons joke, but still it's kind of funny. Like, everyone's yelling at the coach because the coach is like, because they all want their kid to play because it's Little League football, and it's terrible. We do not pay community coaches enough to deal with this parent nonsense. Mm-mm. In any sport, soccer, football, baseball.
I wonder what's going on with this dude's life, because he said he was a lawyer. Could be a dad coach situation, but you know, I would pick him as a lawyer to defend myself if you know. That's just me. You're not a good lawyer.
I mean, and you already got into it, but Andy McDowell is an accomplished, I think, real estate, right? Realtor?
Yeah.
Is that what she wants? And she wants to go back to it.
She wants to go back, yeah.
And he's like, I don't know, we barely have enough time. Like, dude, you're complaining about money. She can earn money. That's the answer.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think that his concern was that childcare would eat up whatever she earned, so what was the point?
Well, yes, but I think he's just covering his ass. This is the 80s. Childcare is not that expensive. Or 90s. Childcare isn't that expensive.
Yeah, didn't y'all used to just knock on the neighbor's door and just drop your kids off?
I mean, it's played off as him being a male asshole.
Right.
Like, he's like, the woman shouldn't have to work, which is whatever.
Yeah, that comes up too, because he's like, oh, women are more nurturing and you have boobs.
Yeah, he just didn't want to take care of the kids. He wanted to spend time with the kids. He wanted to be an uncle. But no, so like number two, basically he's a workaholic, even showing up to work early, where Michael one shows up to work two and he like confuses the receptionist. It was like, you were just here, hence what you're alluding to, the zero communication amongst the clones.
Well, and to wit, the farce part comes in because the one guy, the first clone, is super aggressive and violent. And so that conversation that he's not aware of becomes much more intense, right? Which is the whole like Eugene Levy thing where he like punches him, he throws him in the cab of his car, he throws his truck into neutral and kicks it down the street, right?
He had to leave.
Yeah.
But that's what I guess the type of wits it takes to be successful in construction, or at least certain parts. But at this point in the movie, you're starting to see that even though number one is, you know, without work, he's still got to take care of his kids, and he's actually golfing, doing whatever he wants, essentially, to the point where, well, the wife tells two to do something like pick up the kids or just whatever, and then number two calls number one, and number one does it, and he hates it.
And this is when we have, like, picture day at the ballet studio.
Yeah, yeah. And you can tell he's struggling, because, like, he alludes to, like, he hadn't had, after, like, the fiasco with him cleaning up his kids and taking them to the ballet, he explains, like, he hasn't had a day off for 30 years.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, you know,
Ray. Well, and I mean, like, he has to get the girl's hair together, and it's essentially a Mr. Mom bit. Like, he doesn't know how to handle the kids.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
And, like, he has to make dinner. The kids are fighting. He's yelling at the kids. They're fighting. It turns out that it isn't actually picture day. The wife was wrong, and that bitch got it wrong. Like, and there's...
You better bring someone on the camera.
Right? But like, he has no time for her nonsense.
Even though he has half his day filled.
And he just can't handle the kids.
So due to that...
He decides to take her out to a lovely dinner to their favorite restaurant. And he sees the clone of himself who asked out one of the...
receptionists. Yeah.
And he goes, "What? It's my favorite restaurant too," which is a good joke.
Yeah.
But again, here's a scene where he's actively fighting himself.
At one point, he's like trying to waterboard him in the bathroom sink.
Yeah.
Well, you ever tried to wash a face? What was super funny? So,
seen a man wash another man's face.
Two things. It was kind of shitty because number one, went to the restaurant to suggest to his wife that, you know, you should watch the kids and let me play golf.
You shouldn't be working.
Then number two, as he's talking to the whole old girl that he works with. He is spitting facts. He's separated from his wife. He sleeps in the garage, and he's pretty sure that his wife is sleeping with another man.
Which
perfect writing.
And guess what, Michael Keaton? If you're going to make another Michael Keaton, this is something you have to work out in advance because Bestie knows in the back of his head that's his wife.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is where the farce part comes in. Mm-hmm. But it's so like. He's talking to this woman who's probably like a decade and a half younger than Michael Keaton. And she's just obsessed. Like, aha, that bitch. Like, it's so funny the way.
And she plays along with it too, which makes me think other things. The sanction of marriage destroyed by, well, office hoes. But...
Yeah, because that could come back to bite him hard if Andy McDowell started thinking he's cheating on her. Was really his clone sleeping with the other? Weird.
Frankly, this man is like in charge of a construction site, and he pretty much kills John DeLancey in a porta john. Which the fact that they're at an office building, and they have a porta john is so funny to me. But John DeLancey gets put in the goes in the porta john, and with his truck, Michael Keaton, you know. Commits vehicular manslaughter. I don't know what to tell you.
Wait, does he show up again?
I don't think he does.
Did he die?
He doesn't come back.
Well.
But at this point, Michael Keaton is arguing with himself in the men's room. And again, this is a good scene. They're dressed pretty much the same, wearing blue Oxfords and their brown blazers or blue blazers. And they fight the shit out of each other. It's funny.
Oh, Doug's. And even when they escape, other thing too, office hoe. She finds his wife, and then she's like, oh, your wife's here. And they decide to, like, you know, army crawl out of there.
Well, especially since it's the wrong clone. So he is in a different jacket. He goes, you changed your jackets in the bathroom?
They switched.
Yes, I did. And then they both, when they see her, they both sit at a random couple's table. Again, we have the elements of comedy here. It's totally fine.
No, it is.
Michael Keaton is in a closed door farce by himself, which is fine. Then other clone makes out with Andy McDowell, and then they end up back at the apartment. They have to sort this shit out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And what he realizes is there's no way I can do it by myself. I need another clone. And this is the gay clone.
It doesn't specify he's gay, but it's alluded to
the more feminine side as opposed to the more macho side.
Yeah.
He buttons his top button. He goes to the dance club and doesn't want to dance with the women.
He tells people women how to dress and how to do their hair.
Yes.
He's very much so a 90s stereotypical gay character. Yeah. But which he's the one that's going to be taking care of the kids, cooking dinner, and just, you know, basically being the house dad. And again, as you mentioned too, there's no communication because the wife's talking to him about some day to day shit. In which number three is not alluding to number one, because number one gets to sleep in the bed and at night, and then wake up, and then as he leaves, you know, I would just like to see like a time lapse of all this, of them just like Benny Hilling this whole situation.
Yeah.
Will there be a yakety sex?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and then we get Michael Keaton doing what I guess he wants, which is, you know, bungee jumping, playing golf, going to basketball games, mm-hmm. watching another man eat with his family. You know, my Switch birthday up. Cake, it's my birthday cake. And then this is where we have Murray, and he has a boat, and he's... There's like a swingers vibe going on here.
Kinda.
It's very strange.
Yeah, yeah.
But Brian Doyle Murray and this, like, shockingly young woman who's supposed to be his
Do
wife.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Happy Gilmore. She's the
Kimberly. Oh, no kidding.
And also, Modern Family. Oh. She's Claire from Modern Family. Very young. I was, like, very shocked. But, yeah, she's been in the game for a minute.
Yeah, there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Modern Family's an old show, too, now, huh?
Can we start doing episodes on that now?
What?
I think it ended 2015, 16.
Yeah, it ran for a decade.
It ran for a minute. Yeah, there's like 17 whatever seasons. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
But yeah, so we have the sensitive one who's now cooking. And, you know, I mean, I don't even know at what point it comes. It's right around here, but we end up with yet another clone.
One of the clones clones themselves. You end up with one who's basically brain damaged.
Yes, and we all know what happens when you make a copy from the copy.
This is the dumb one who calls him Steve.
Steve.
His
name is Doug, by the way. I don't think
his name is Doug.
So, Steve.
At what point, too, they pick up call girls?
Yes, and they had dates in the back.
And they're dancing up in the apartment,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is just, it's something. Hey, a third one. Oh, boy. Like, this, it's very contrived dialogue, but it's fine. It's stupid. It's a big market comedy.
I think majority of the time, because he got, I think majority of this movie was, how are we going to splice this? Michael Keaton has to put up 90% of the movie because, you know. So I don't think a lot was really put into, like, the actual story. Because I'm pretty sure it was restricted because of just, like, the technology and things around it. You know what I mean?
Well, yes, but this movie is still almost 2 hours. If there's a strike against it, it's too long.
Yeah, it's too long. Because
there's a, like, how many times do they have a scene where there's, like, clone, you shouldn't do that. But clone's like, but you didn't give me these instructions. And then he disappears. And then there's another of the exact same scene, but this time, whoops, I made a clone of myself. And then they do that again. With the when this time there's three of them. Then there are women. And then, whoops, there's a fourth. Like, the scene happens 5 times, and it's so slow.
I will say the funniest part of the movie was kind of drawn out to me, to be real. This is so, you mentioned earlier, Doug met a sea captain who was teaching him how to sail. And essentially Doug was like, yo, bring you the missus, you know, we're going to hang out, chill, we'll go to the Poconos. I don't know where they are exactly. And Doug, one, fails to convince his wife to go sailing. So he's going off of a week adventure and essentially where he's left with the clones. And Doug tells Doug two, three, no. Two and three. Wait, one, two, and three. Sorry, yes. Please. Two rules. Only one I remember for this point of this argument is don't sleep with my wife.
That's right.
That's it. Don't sleep with my wife. That's your one rule. Don't sleep with my wife as me.
As me, yeah.
As me. And then I guess one scary stormy night, the husband's duties comes to call.
There's a storm, which is important because the dumb one gets scared. That's why he's in the house.
That's why. So essentially, number three, who is the one that is, you know, the housewife and things like that. He's laying in bed and he's very, like, cringed up and stuff. And he wants to finish cleaning. But the wife, she wants him, you know, Doug. And, you know, and unfortunately they have sex at the same time. Number two, the masculine one, is just
starving
to death because they're out of food. So he goes into the kitchen as they're having sex. And then the wife goes, I'm not quite sure. She goes downstairs.
She goes downstairs.
And she's, oh my God, that was amazing and all that kind of stuff. And he was like, oh, okay. And then they proceed to have sex in the living room in the couch as the other clone is upstairs. And after they're done making having sex, something about number two leaves to go inside and number three just shows up.
I like pizza.
I like peas. And
pizza,
and he's soaking wet. And he goes into, and they go to the bathroom, and I guess since he's adolescence and a woman's touching him. He has a boner. And this girl fucks all the clones.
But it's so funny because
she is so ludicrously horny for all of them.
Well, the first one, she's like, oh, you were so tender. And then the second time, you were so aggressive. And the third time, I guess you just peed on the floor. He's like, I like pizza. I like pizza. And he has, like, at one point, a boot on his head and, like, swim goggles on.
Yep.
I should mention, too, this ties together with Splash as well, not just for Eugene Levy. But it was written by Babalu Mandel, the same writer who won an Academy Award nomination for writing Splash. So, there you go.
Splash had was nominated for writing?
For writing. For Best Original Screenplay.
Huh. I would never have thought.
Neither would I.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now.
But that explains the Eugene Levy, because if it's...
Same writer. Brought him along. He's like, this guy can read this part. Anyway, at this point, after everyone rails the wife, and there is a funny scene where they try to shave, and the dumb one is just covered head to toe in shaving cream.
And they ask him, like, is there a blade? Number three is like, no, we just took the blade out. He's just fine. We shave him at night when he's
sleeping. When he's sleeping.
Oh, man. But I don't know. There's some turmoil with Doug One and his wife at this point.
Because there's so many miscommunications. Getting kind of upset and ends up taking the kids and going to mom's.
Right. But the reason why, I think that the shitty part, the nail in the coffin, the cherry on top, the straw that broke the camel's back, is that she went to the garage to talk to what she assumed was Doug OG, but she ended up talking to Doug 3, which is the one that likes pizza. And then she's like, Doug, tell me what you want. And he was like,
I want pizza.
And she left with the kids, left a note for Doug, which Doug 1 gave to Doug 2. Doug 2 gave to Doug 1.
Yeah, I mean, and like the whole thing is just, it's strange, right? Because they're having an argument over what they want to do on vacation, and no one talks to anything. Like, you'd think they'd make agreements in advance, but they never do. No one knows what's going on.
Because they're clones, and too much things are happening. Which, I guess, the wife takes her kids to the parents, and Doug is basically pondering with Doug to realize what he could do to, like, better his life, which... at this point, Nikki mentions earlier, they live in a fixer-upper house.
Yeah.
And so I guess the way to win his wife back is to have a comically montage fixer-upper
built. Well, and everything else is falling apart, right? At this point, like, he oversleeps, and so, like, his boss, played by Richard Mazur, actually, is like, well, you got to get here to talk to the inspector. And the one who ends up talking to the inspector has no idea what he's talking about because...
The Phantom and Dog.
He hasn't been caught up, and so they fail the inspection, which costs them the project, which again, all this stuff is just
miscommunication,
right? And since there's an hour and a half of it, it seems to go on and on and on and on and on, but this gets them all fired, and so now he's trying to make it up to everyone as they go to the wife. And so now we have the montage where he even hires back Eugene Levy to clean up the house. And they're rebuilding the top and the bottom, and they're cleaning up everything. The dumb one is just playing with a glue gun and a saw, which is just...
That's what he does. But they end up fixing the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Doug gets his wife back.
And the clones go off to Florida and set up a pizza restaurant.
Yeah.
Three guys from nowhere.
We went through this a lot quicker than I thought we would. But I want to speak about Keaton, and I want to get your opinion.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, okay. So... Obviously, Keaton was more prominent during y'all's childhood than he was in mine, but I appreciate the renaissance that, as you mentioned it. How do y'all feel about the new Flash movie and him coming up as Batman that can move his neck?
I mean, I'll be interested to see, because obviously this time Warner Brothers is in such financial shit that they have to release something.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they can keep writing things off, but, like, they got to get a movie out. No. Yeah. I mean, I just like Michael Keaton, and they've been rumored to bring him back for about a decade now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the Birdman movie's about.
Yeah, it kind of mirrored his life at one point. I'm excited for it because, A, it's just another superhero movie, and DC is going kind of
Tar with me right now, but Marvel. Sorry, it's the going Tar with me. So, yeah.
I mean, Tar just, like that new movie.
This movie called Tar.
T A with apostrophe over at R.
Is it French?
Scandinavian. It looks like.
Ah, I was close.
No, I mean I'm with you. I'm Marvel. I've had a hard time caring since Endgame.
Well, there's a reason why it's kind of dwindled, and we can talk about this. I'll mention it in the podcast, give this multiplicity a little beef. Essentially the pandemic, but mainly it was when Chadwick Boseman passed away and the pandemic happened, they lost basically their core. And the Falcon and Winter Soldier is essentially, that story was rewritten quickly because essentially there was this illness that started in like Europe or whatever, and they had to find a cure, right. Stuff. But yeah, this.
Well, and clearly the new core was going to be Captain America, played this time by Anthony Mackie, right? The new Captain America. It was going to be Black Panther.
Yeah.
It was going to be Captain Marvel, but that Captain Marvel movie didn't make money.
Yeah. Yeah.
They keep wanting to include Spider-Man more, but
this whole thing with Sony, the licensing just not that, is crazy. Yeah. They did want to bring feature the Illuminati and had Black Panther be it. That's why we got that BS Illuminati one for the Multiverse of Madness, where they just had to plop things anywhere. But
yeah, and so it just feels like they're scrambling. And when Endgame wrapped everything up so nice, like those movies have made money since, but there hasn't been people talking about them in the same way.
I like Shang-Chi. That was fun.
Shang-Chi was good.
No Way Home was good. Some of the Disney Plus, sure.
Eternal was a disaster.
That made me so mad. I fell asleep during that movie. Granted, I was drunk, but I fell asleep during that movie. But since this we're talking about multiplicity, Michael Keaton was it both in Spider-Man Homecoming and the Morbius movie at the very end. Yes, he was.
And I mean, I will say, I want DC to succeed more than anyone. My favorite Batman is my favorite superhero for movies.
Absolutely.
But they keep shooting themselves in the foot. And I don't know what happened with Cavill, but whatever it is, I get the feeling that part of it's him. And whether he doesn't want to do it or what, but like, he also left The Witcher. He left a lot of projects.
Now he wants to do Warhammer. That could be fun.
That would be fun.
I mean, it could be, but it's such a big world. I just don't know how they're going to do it. I hope he has a budget, because...
Well, let's see how this new Dungeons & Dragons movie comes out and see how, you know...
I'm not optimistic. And it's not that I don't like Dungeons & Dragons. They just tried to do movies of it before, and they've all been...
Yeah, there's one a few years ago. I heard it was bad.
There's one with Wayne's.
That was the way in the 90s one. That's actually... I kind of like that
movie. Well, I mean, it's not a good movie. It's a fun movie.
Who's in it? Who's the villain? He was Ben Affleck's butler in the Batman movie. He was...
Michael Caine?
Not Michael Caine. Ben Affleck's. God.
Oh, Aragorn. Jeremy Irons.
He's in that Dragon movie, right?
Yeah, I think he's perving on Lily Sobieski or something.
We've done that before, haven't we? No, I was
not on the show. I don't think.
No, it's Marlon Wayans in it. It's Jeremy Irons is in it, and then that's Thora Birch is in it. There's some people in it, but it was a disaster. It didn't make its money. 2000s, Dungeons and Dragons. I just don't know if that new one is even going to get a theatrical release.
It is. It just post production taking long, rewrites. That whole thing. Yeah, we should really do some Rocky movies. Have y'all done Rocky movies?
We have not. Maybe the fourth one.
Maybe when the DVD of Creed 3 comes out. Creed 3. Without Rocky in it. I heard very good reviews so far.
I mean, the first one was great. The second one was okay.
The second one didn't have the original director, Ryan Coogler.
Who's incredible.
Amazing. And I actually recently just watched the first two back-to-back. And like... The directing style is obviously different, but like it's the little details that Ryan Coogler puts in his movies that made the second one fall too hard. The second one, I mean, I think that was too... Just like Adonis Creed in Creed 2, there was too much expectations to be like his predecessor, his father, and stuff, you know? And like
you can't hit the nail that hard on the head.
No. I would have loved Michael Stallone and...
Sly.
For a second, they said Michael. Michael Keaton in there somehow.
I forgot. We're talking about Multiplicity. Sorry.
Dolph Lundgren comes Dolph,
I would want a Dolph Lundgren and Sylvester Stallone like, to fight.
Old man fight?
Absolutely. I'd rather have that than, you know.
A PhD and an Academy Award winner.
There we go. He did get one for Rocky, didn't he? For writing.
I think so.
It wasn't for acting. He's a good actor in those, the first two.
He's a fine actor. I have nothing. Yeah. He's an actor who needs to act or not.
Yeah.
Because there's some action movies where he doesn't care, and then somewhere he tries really hard.
Yeah.
And he can act when he wants to. But anyway, so at this point, Michael Keaton has fixed up the house with Michael Keaton, Michael Keaton, and Michael Keaton. Andy McDowell's like, holy shit, you fixed up the house.
Yeah, she's from Gaffney, which is the same place that guy from House of Cards is from. Kevin Spacey, the president, the perv.
Yeah. So he was the president. Anyways.
Yeah.
And at one point, Andy McDowell sees all three of them and tells the kids, that's how you know you love somebody, because you see them everywhere.
Because the three clones sitting in the Mustang next to him. I thought I would have me a stroke.
Yeah, and then they ride out into the distance, where they end up in Florida, and they open a pizza place, which sounds terrible.
But it seems like they're having fun. Number three is the cook. Number two is...
Banging all the women.
Banging all the women. And then... Wait, how number, am I getting this wrong?
Number the fourth. The dumb one is like chucking pizzas from a bicycle.
Well, he's both a newspaper deliverer and a pizza delivery person.
That's right.
And Michael Keaton decided to start his own subcontracting company, so he's not at work all the time. That's true. He can spend more time with his kids.
Makes his own hours. Do the dad thing. Mr. Dad.
Yeah.
Multiplicity.
Yeah. And then throughout, you know, this is where we get the kind of, you know, there's some three good looking guys, like they're all just jokes. It's just the jokes. And for the most part, they do a good job layering these shots.
Yeah.
They look good across the board. With the three of them in the Mustang was clearly the hardest one.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't look great. It looks fine. It's okay. But
they're running out of money. They're tired.
But I do... The kid is so stupid. Like, these kids are not characters in this at all. They barely show up. They don't really have names, even.
They're just there to yell.
But at one point, they're all in the car, and it's the scene that Matt was just talking about, where they're like, well, when you love someone, you see them everywhere. But the kid's going, who would win, a tank or a T-Rex? And the mom is not listening, and that's such a great, like, whatever, commentary. And then we get a postcard fade. To pizza, burgers, three guys from nowhere.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, we're out of time. So let's give some final thoughts. Norm, what do you think?
Okay.
No, number four.
I enjoy this movie. I do agree with you guys. It is way too long. If the movie was shorter and with the quips and things like that, more interactions with the clones, it's funny. The premise is funny. It makes you think, like, what would happen if I did have a clone, you know? And like you said, Nick, if it's on randomly on a TV channel, I'm going to stop and watch it.
Yeah. Matt?
I was talking to my dad about saying I was going to watch this movie, and he said there are too many Michael Keatons in this movie, and he's right. If they maybe left off, maybe if they just fewer clones and less runtime would be better movie, but it was too long, I thought.
Yeah,
or all the clones show up at once. I don't know. I mean, like, the pacing of this movie is too slow. It's too long, so I don't know if you get rid of a clone or what, but, yeah, I mean, I have nothing against this. This is, again, it's almost 2 hours, so they'd stretch it out to, like, 2.5, probably almost 3 on a Sunday afternoon. It's kind of...
Lord of the Clones is 3 hours long?
Kind of, yeah, I mean... and that's what this movie kind of is. It's just slow and low and not too heavy, and it's funny. I mean, it's got its funny points. Like, they don't put any labels to the very fey one or the very dumb one, so that helps. There's no R words being thrown around.
That's true.
So,
or,
like,
even with the feminine one, they don't call him gay or anything.
No. Even that's kind of okay. And so it's just like an adequate comedy. I was totally fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw it on VHS. Exactly what I remembered. You know, it's fine. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for paying attention. Thanks, everybody.